Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Saturday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is June 19th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing well. Moving day's over. We saw just the leaderboard completely turned on its head. Not really, but you know what?
A lot of shuffling.
We had a day of golf. The score distribution's pretty much exactly the same as when we started. I'm now convinced that if we played 8 straight rounds at Torrey, we would have pretty much the same type of leaderboard.
We got juice, though, late. I mean, I'm coming into this recording juice. With a bit of enthusiasm, excitement about the last few hours, about excitement about the next day, which is kind of where you left it. I thought yesterday, you're like, hey, it's going to be bunched. There'll be excitement, some drama, energy around it. We have that from... Best I can tell, you got Rory, you got the thick boy, you got a nation, Canada represented up there. The King Louis out of nowhere comes, bombs in that eagle at 18. All of a sudden, he's in the lead. So it's and then the group at one is just loaded. You got, I think, DJ, who I didn't even know was playing this weekend, barely. You know, he just kind of sneaks up. Now he's in the top 10. At one is DJ, Morikawa, Xander, and I think, Rahm jumped up. Rahm jumped up to 2, but it's just like a lot of possibility. We'll get into what, you know, contender, pretender, how far down you go, all that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But
it's a great leaderboard.
Yeah, it's a strong leaderboard. Again,
who would have guessed?
This does not prove that, like...
It's the U.S. Open. We got a lot of big names.
The course is good. You know, again, like similar to the Bell Reef thing. It does not de facto mean this is a good course. You could... have a great basketball game between, you know, in the middle of the ocean between two great players. Like, things happen, but
remember
it can
when
be
they played that
amplified.
That Duke Michigan State game on the aircraft carrier?
Yeah, in San Diego, coincidentally. That was in San Diego. I don't know if it was Duke, but yeah. They had to keep delaying it. It wasn't like it was too windy one day and then there was moisture the other day. It didn't work well, if I'm not mistaken. We're hitting all the pertinent details here off the top. What'd you make of Saturday? I thought it was fun that Mackenzie Hughes... I don't want to go into the negative right away, actually. What'd you make of Saturday? What'd you make of Saturday?
I mean, I don't know what I made. I think this is what I took
away.
Well,
that's why we're here. This is why Athletic's sponsoring this, to hear you say you don't know what you made.
What I took away is... Here's what I took away. There's going to be a lot of guys in the mix tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's very, very hard to shoot a high number here and very, very hard to shoot a low number here. Like, it was set up easy today. They had par fives up. They had 3 up. Like, they tried to set it up easy. You know, they had some bull pins out there. And we saw, like...
Rory and Casey shot 67.
67 was the low again. Like, that was the low of the last 2 days. So... here's the thing. There's 3 guys at 5, right? If one of them shoots even par, Rory or Bryce is going to have to play really freaking good. Like, playing really freaking good out here is 69, 68. You know, out of this world good is 67. So, like, the reality is, while it looks really close with 3 guys there, they need to all shoot over par.
Which is plausible.
Possible. Oh yeah,
plausible.
It's totally plausible.
Possible.
I kind of think like 5 is a good winner.
Yeah.
Six or 7 is done deal. But like, you know, like if you finish at 5, like you're gonna be pretty happy.
So let's go into it. We're already dancing around it then. Like, I mean, are we gonna have something lower than 67 tomorrow? Probably not.
I don't know. Who knows? It just doesn't seem like it's not possible. I found myself today sitting on my couch, like thinking about how irate people were at Erin Hills when JT shot that unbelievable 63. Like it was just like an exhibition. It was so exhilarating. It was exciting. That day of golf was just like unbelievable. And I remember how mad people were. And I just thought, you know, the alternative is this, where everybody shoots the same score.
It is kind of like this sort of this sparring, right? With no big uppercuts. Like one of those fights where you pay a lot and
like
they kind of dance
Mayweather
for 12 rounds. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know anything about boxing, but it's just sort of body blows and defensive stuff. I get that a little bit. So that wouldn't portend well for like the one under group.
They might shoot 67.
Highlighted.
They might be okay at 67, right?
And one of them probably can. DJ Morikawa, Xander among them. I don't want to short Seabez, Bezadenhout, or Streelman, who are also at one under. But yeah, you know, if you're in the top 10, I think you have a chance.
Yeah.
A chance.
Yeah.
A slight chance.
It's going to be exciting because there's so many guys in the mix, right? You know, like they're. But again, like this illuminates an issue because, like, Xander Schauffele, the hometown kid, got completely dropped from coverage today. He wasn't out of it by any means. Like, Scotty Scheffler just like appeared on the 16th hole. And it was like, oh, Scotty Scheffler's in it. Like, there's too many guys for them to follow.
Yeah. There. I almost felt like Louis even was like sort of like in the background a little bit. And then all of a sudden he was in the lead. Like, I didn't feel like we had the pulse of Louis playing in this penultimate group.
It's a tricky thing when there's 10 guys in it.
Right.
You know, it's really, they can't follow all of them. And then, you know, they'll show, you know, shots of these random guys. Like, they'll show Phil following up, finishing up, you know,
or finishing up
16.
At 78 or whatever. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's going to be a day where you're just like, shit's just going to happen. Guys are going to show up on putting greens and make a putt. And you're going to be like, oh, maybe Christian Bezadenhout's going to win. You know,
so it's bunched, but not necessarily a lot of movement. If that those can be the same thing, right? Like a bunch, obviously,
it's constipated.
Like,
the leaderboard's constipated.
So there's a lot to show, but that's not because it's fast paced action. Like we would say at a Masters, where everybody kind of all of a sudden, guy makes like shoots a 31 on the back and is in it. It's just
I'm surprised there isn't like a constipation reliever sponsor for the senior tour. Now that I think about it. Like Miralax or
God. Say they were starting at the same score, a hypothetical, which we can't talk about. You know, it's not reality. Louis and Rory starting with the exact same score tomorrow. Who would you have more faith in to close it out? Who would you have more faith in? Get to the back nine, they're at the same score.
This is an impossible question.
It is.
I mean, since Louis burst on the scene at the Open, he's been dreadful. Like, he hasn't been dreadful. He doesn't shoot himself. He just does nothing. And this might be the perfect place for him, though, because he can do nothing, and that's
good. And
then
make an eagle at the end, and all of a sudden he's won. Makes a birdie, something like that, and all of a sudden he's won. Yeah. That's an interesting hypothetical. We could really have some bugaboos, some skeletons coming out at some of those guys. It's really hard. It's a really big toss up. I think I would take Louis. I'm so scared about Rory. The double cross into the canyon today. As soon as he started getting some stuff rolling, of course he gets the cleanup birdie at 18. But like that is a. Which, again, I think sort of gets at some of the chasers being, you know, available, having pathways available. If it's Rory and Louis, I'm just a little anxious. I can't believe we're throwing Rory in that bucket now, but I think that's you have to, right? After the last 7 years.
I feel really good that he avoided the Bryson pairing. Like, that was not good. That was not going to be good, I don't think.
Why?
Well,
because this is where it all started, right? I mean, we were going to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is, you know, at the beginning of golf's return, all caps, return to golf.
Return to golf. Yeah, all caps.
You know, bulked up Bryson came back and totally...
Colonial.
He totally flexed on Rory.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was bloated by him. Rory said it really screwed him up after the round. Then this spring, Rory's like, yeah, you know, I chased speed, and it really ruined my golf swing.
Yes, he said that at the Players, which, you know, all credit to Rory
because,
for being
candid about
it. Because
of Bryson.
But, right, right.
And then the third layer, which I didn't tweet about, that numerous people tweeted back at me about, is now Rory's leading the resistance against Bryson's method of reading greens.
Arm lock, green leading, reading books. He's just throwing them all. And he has the power, maybe. He wears the crown on top of his head. Bryson's just sort of maybe he's a lord of a manor. He has some sort of territory, but he's not at the seat of the head of the table here.
Speaking of which, I need to issue an apology. A few weeks back, I said I was really disappointed in Rory since he became the PAC president.
And now you're all in.
I take it all back. If he gets rid of green reading books,
that's all it took.
He's the greatest PAC president of all time. And if he somehow gerrymanders arm lock in there too, you know, I might join the Pontevedra clan. I might try and become a servant of the royalty of Pontevedra.
Okay. Little court jester. Come in doing some parlor tricks for them. Entertain the boys over there. I would say, you know, he's got boatloads of top tens. This might be his first real time in the Sunday crucible of a major since the Reed pairing at the Masters, or I guess Carnoustie. You know, he rolled in an eagle, momentarily had a back lead on the back nine, but was way out in front. Not way, but, you know, pretty far out in front of the last few groups at Carnoustie. I know he's had some top tens, like probably four or five since then, but they're all backdoor. And I would say this is the first real Sunday we're starting with Rory in a prime position to win a major since, I would say, either the Masters with Patrick Reed in that final grouping or when he claimed to share the lead late at Carnoustie, which is exciting. That's always good for the game and, you know, is de facto proof that Torrey Pines is a great venue because Rory's back in it.
That's right. I have a hypothetical to throw at you.
What is it?
All right, say we get to the end of tomorrow, and Russell Henley and Mackenzie Hughes are locked at six under par, heading to a playoff, and it's running right into the track and field competition. What does NBC do? And then the second part of the question, say Rory and Bryson tie at five under, heading to a playoff, right into the track and field. What does NBC do?
I mean, if it's Henley Hughes, which sounds like one of Justin Hadley's kids' names, Henley Hughes, I mean, they're going to, like, you know, Bravo or one of the million networks that NBC Universal. Yeah, something like Golf Channel. I don't know, Golf Channel may have LPGA obligation. Yeah, I think they're getting thrown down. Bryson, I don't know. Bryson, Rory, they got to keep him on, right?
They have to, right?
So, well, this is the pickle they're in because they got the Olympics, which is like their you know, ultimate bread and butter, and they've got this new USGA deal. They're a year into it, and USGA is thirsty for, you know, as much
here's the
being
angle.
Taken care of.
Here's the game within the game. Can't the golf people go to them and say, technically, this is a big deal for Olympic qualifying for golf.
That's true. Could say you're killing two birds with one stone here, right? Olympics coverage and golf.
That should
coverage.
Be the angle that they're playing.
Sure.
And then get Azinger just talking about it, and it'll be a bunch of guys that are going to the Olympics.
Added pressure to get that Olympic spot. It's been 100 years since they played. There's only a few handful of these guys. They're back in the Olympics. That's pressure. You could win a medal. Only a handful of guys.
You saw how much this meant to the players. I mean, Ricky Fowler, he got that Olympic tattoo on his arm. You know, that's real pressure.
He said pressure a million times today. It just fell right into our lap. We're not exaggerating this. Pressure, Dan. There's pressure can burst a pipe. I tell you, he said as straight as train smoke. He said a drive was straight as train smoke, which, I mean, is that straight? Seems like train smoke would be kind of floating hither and yon and then spreading out all over the place. But anyways, I digress. We don't need to get into Azinger's language. Do you have anything interesting to say about Mackenzie Hughes? He eagles 13, jumps in it, joins the coverage. You know, we'll have all of Canada rooting for him. I thought it was fascinating when he came off the course. Fascinating and damning. He and Bryson's comments after the when they walked off. Mackenzie Hughes is like, yeah, I mean, it's basically like what we play at the Farmers. It's basically like, it's a little firmer, but like, I'm used to this. And they were like, sort of eagerly asking him to not say that. Like, can you talk about how this is more of a U.S. Open and this is a major and it's hard and all these things? And it gets to your point on Thursday when it was admittedly slow about it, like not feeling special. Like a U.S. Open, you feel special. You see a place you don't see all the time, or you see a test, or you see a leaderboard, or you see shots that you don't. It sort of hit on that. He's like, no, I mean, this is the course I see. It's a no. I play every year here. I like it. It's a little firmer. And he wouldn't go there for him, which just added to that, like, it feels like a Farmers Insurance Open in June, obviously with stakes that are tenfold that. But that wasn't certainly the comment you probably want to hear if you're, I don't know, a Tory backer of some sort.
No.
What's your...
Not at all. Well, I mean, here's the thing.
Since Mackenzie Hughes going to win?
I was thinking about this. I don't know. Frankly, I have no clue who's going to win. I don't have any clue who's going to win.
That's right.
It's a utter crapshoot. There's 10 guys on that leaderboard that could win. And, I mean, it could come down to who doesn't hit a flagstick and get a terrible bounce. How about that today?
What's going on with that? What is going on? Can you recall seeing this?
They seem like they're really bouncy, too. There are no friendly bounces.
No. That never deadens, right? It never deadens the ball and drops it straight down. It's always like big, big ricochets. Are they extra thick? Are they extra wide? I don't know. Can I just say the worst time tweet of the night was tagged me in Ben Vanna. Top notch analysis by Brendan Porath on the shotgun start in regards to the Mattress King never making a putt, despite the statistically being on top of that category. Tweeted that at me like 1 minute before he bombs in the eagle putt at 18 to take the lead. I was like, oh, thank you. That's the worst time tweet. Top-notch analysis. That's what you come for. That's why you come here, to say, we don't know if Mackenzie Hughes is going to win. We don't think Louis looks like Louis misses a putt every time I look up. And then, of course, there he is, draining an eagle to take the lead into Sunday. What else stuck out to you from Saturday? I would say doubling off the Mackenzie Hughes comments about it not being different. I mean, you got Bryson straight out coming out and saying again, like, most people think to win a major, you got to hit it down the fairway, you got to hit greens. And like, that's just, I'm sorry, that's not the case. Like, it's not what you want to hear if you're Mike Davis, USGA, any of these major championships. But that's just not the case.
Well, that's the thing, is it doesn't matter if you're in the rough, if you're hitting a wedge, unless there's water in front of the green, which we saw Russell Henley legitimately lay up with a wedge, which is asinine. It's idiotic. Like, this is like the example of where long, rough, narrow is just so it's so dumb. Like, Russell Henley is like a foot off the fairway or off the first cut, and he's got a wedge in his hand with a front pin over water. We saw Bland hit it in the water. Uh-huh. Now, I was sitting there like, I can't wait to see him take on the shot. Like, is he going to hit it to the back? Are we going to see him? Like, it was a really nervy shot that would have, like, really given you a feel of how he was handling the situation. But he had such a shitty lie. He just laid up to the right and then hit a bunker shot.
Yeah.
And then hit a bunker shot because that was easier than going long. We saw.
You think he laid up into the bunker on purpose?
Yeah, I think he laid up into the bunker on purpose. Okay. Because that shot was easier. So anyways, like, now if that if that rough is like 2 inches high or three, say it's 4 inches high, not even, it's not thin, right? Say it's four yeah. inches high. He has to take on that shot. He's not sure if the ball's going to jump or come out like knuckling and dive bomb. And he's taking on the shot because he actually probably thinks he could use the backboard and make a birdie still. But like the enticement, this is why there's no movement on this leaderboard. This is the whole reason why, is because like you hit it in the rough and then you just play defense, hit it up to the front of the green and chip up and make par or bogey. That's what this whole tournament is because of the setup. It's idiotic. Like another example would have been Henley on 12. You know, Azinger set it up perfectly. He's like, you know, he's hitting this hybrid from the right rough. He's like, that's I don't trust them out of the rough because I never know how far they're going to go. And it comes out hot as shit, right? Yeah. And that green has a ton of back to front slope, and then over the green is like a 25-foot drop off.
Drop, yep.
But there's 8-inch rough behind the green. So his ball that's blistering through the green just stops. And he ends up with like, he's 3 feet off the green. So you just took like all big numbers off the table because of the shitty ass setup. Like it's just, it's, they don't think about how golf is actually played. And like the idea of like, hey, we're going to like really think about, hey, if this guy's here, like, okay, I get like, you can have thick rough places, but you should have shorter rough other places. And anywhere on the approach shot into 18, you want shorter rough because you want people taking on the water.
Yep. Yeah. What was Bland was the only one that really... Bland's the only one I've seen go in the water.
Nobody hits it in there.
I feel bad for Sir Dick Bland. Just...
Can we... I've just got like just a general take about Sir Dick Bland. All right. If I'm a fish out of water, the last thing I'm going to do is foreshadow my performance by wearing all blue.
I was wondering about that. That's well, the DJ move, doing? Though.
Yeah, that's DJ. DJ wears that. It's not Dick Bland.
Maybe he was just like, dressing was for the job he wanted. Like, he's just dressing blue. For the job.
That's all I could think about. Feeling blue.
Or is Bob he still Dylan's in it?
Tangled up in blue.
One over. He's still got a chance, right?
No, he's Six got back. No chance. I had a game within the game. Low 48-year-old Englishman.
Where's Westy right now?
One over. He shot even again.
Oh, God. They're both there.
Westy's still playing for program. The 2008 title. He's still playing for the 2008 title. I think if he gets in at
one under,
if he gets in at one under, he wins.
Well, I'm in a playoff.
Retroactively wins.
Do I come back on Monday? One under. All right, let's do an ad read. We'll talk Bryson. We'll talk a little bit more Rory.
We got to get the game of the game. The game within the game answer comes after this ad read.
Oh, wow. Is that a cliffhanger teaser? Thanks to Athletic Brewing for sponsoring this week of U.S. Open coverage. They are only non-alcoholic brew of choice. It's the only one. I will come right out and say it. You know, had they not advertised with us, had they not approached us, I don't know that I would have ever found it. I'm trying to be honest with you. When they approached us, we're like, you know, we usually talk about how we're worse for the wear. How's this going to work? How's this going to fit? And it has. It has fit. I would, if they were not paying us for ad reads, I would tell my friends off air that you should have this in your fridge. You don't need to go buying 18 cases of it. Just have like six at a time. You know, have it stocked. It is a fabulous option, fabulous alternative when you need a taste. We maintain, this is not scientifically proved, we know nothing about that, there's some sort of placebo effect. Has you feeling loose, relaxed, calm, whether you're grilling, whether it's unwinding at the end of a night and you don't want to just put yourself in the hole for the next day. And it tastes good. I think it's a option you should have in your stable, in your fridge for the summer. We have a promo code, a shotgunstart15. That gets you 15% off your first order. The URL is athleticbrewing.com. Again, just trying to be fully transparent, upfront with you. I didn't expect this to hit like it did with me personally, and it has. And I, I've, I don't know that I would know about it had they not approached us, and I'm glad they have. I, you know, this was over a year ago. It started my whole health kick. So I come by honestly, and I want to be fully upfront, and I would strongly encourage you to make it a part of your refrigerator both this summer and fall. Go ahead.
This week, I've been using Athletic a lot, consuming a lot of Athletic. You know why?
Because late pods.
Late pods, which I can't be getting, you know, getting a little tipsy on.
Yeah.
Before, because I'll fall asleep. But also, like, I've been stressed out because I've gotten a lot of hate directed at me this week because of my takes on Tory Pines.
Woke mob.
Yeah.
Snob.
So I've been needing a little relief. And this is a serious placebo. Just sitting drinking a beer has really, a couple times this week, really chilled me out. Said, you know
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's fantastic. I can see it.
So, favorites, Cerveza Athletica is one of my favorites. I love the Hazy. And then the Run Wild and the Dawn Ale.
All right, thanks to them. Shotgun Start 15 is your promo code. Athleticbrewing.com
is your URL. It's legit good shit.
It is. Okay, what's the game within the game? Dick Bland versus Westy?
Yeah, they're both at one over.
I am still firmly...
It's low 48-year-old Englishman, which I didn't think would even be a contest at the start of the week.
I'm paying
Imagine
taxes.
Imagine the odds you could have gotten.
I'm paying taxes in Blandland, happily paying taxes in Blandland. I will never move out. I want to support the community. I'm riding with Dick Bland. He's now got the spotlight off of him. He'll go out a little. Are they playing together by chance? Is there a chance that tee times are out? I know, but okay. Are you rolling with Westy Island versus Blandland?
Yeah. How can I? I mean, my boy's going to go out and shoot a valiant 68 tomorrow to win the 2008 U.S. Open. Like, that's what's happening.
Bland is with Guido, who he beat at the British Masters. Might be a comfortable pairing. He's stared down that Italian beast before and conquered him. That could be a comfortable pairing for him. They're one out in front of Lee Westwood and Brian Harman. 10:32. I think that's got to be local. Yeah. Okay. So that's the game within the game. We got to do a map, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Blandland, Westy Island,
like a Game
Ernie
of Thrones.
Atoll.
I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but it would be a Game of Thrones style, you know.
All right,
Pontevedra would be the center of the kingdom.
Okay.
And Rory sitting on a crown.
The drawbridge and a moat and a global home. Fancy little global home.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you'll have all the places. Cozia Zone will be like the Bermuda Triangle of the map.
Cozia Zone. It's unattainable. It's mysterious. Once you get there, though, you might never get out.
It's a vortex.
All right. Moving on.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a storyline about Bryson to be shoved down our throat tomorrow that I saw them inching towards today on the telecast?
Ooh, what could this be?
They always love a good overcoming adversity story.
Oh, Brooksy stuff at the end?
Yeah.
Wow, they really, now that you mention it, they really ticked it up there at the end. They started asking him about it.
Yeah.
John Wood had to come in from the ground saying it's really picked up here.
Could be a good late Sunday. You know, he's really overcome some adversity. Get that ready on the bingo board. I think we're going to get some of that tomorrow.
Battling through adversity. Which, I mean, he's played a part into it. I know he didn't, you know, he didn't instigate the whole deal. But I thought it would be all Rory's first Father's Day, isn't it? It's first Father's Day. They're going to get that.
Oh, yeah.
That one's going to be hit.
Oh, can
hard.
We talk about that? Can we talk about that? I just find it. I actually, as like a father, I was slightly repulsed by this whole like showing his hotel room. The guy is like a celebrity. He's like an international icon. And you're showing the hotel room that he's him and his family is staying in on the telecast? Like, that's not a good idea. And then they mess up whose daughter is.
It's a golf pass channel, maybe. Rory's hotel room.
It was clearly not his wife. His wife's probably inside watching on TV trying to stay out of the live. Like, I feel like Rory has made a very, very, very clear point in that he wants his personal life to be personal. Like, he has been very...
And his wife is, some of the wives are very, very happy to be out there on Instagram, on the fairway, outside the ropes, and things like that. I would say Erica's not one of those. She wants to maintain her private family life.
I just found it ridiculous that they're shown his hotel room. Like, what? Nothing good from that could happen. Like, something's probably not going to happen, but nothing good can happen.
When they first showed it yesterday, I was like, wow, like that's a little weird. Like, that's not, like, if I was a camera guy and I turned my camera on this hotel balcony, I'd be shitting my pants concerned if he caught me and saw me. That's how, like, if that's not a signal that it's a little weird, then I don't know what is. Like, or maybe I'm just a little too sensitive to that, but like, I was like, please don't see me. Please don't see me. Film in your balcony is what if I was on the other side of the lens. And I think that's all that should be the litmus test of whether you should be doing it or not. And then they went back today and they said this, you know, this 15-year-old who's like bouncing around.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering when they said it. Like, Rory's daughter and my daughter are like weeks apart. And I'm like, wait, that's. How come Josie looks so small and like can't walk because the kid's like bouncing around?
That kid was like on Social Security, like unbelievable. That was ridiculous. Like, oh, there's little Poppy.
Not to mention,
like, no, that's
kid,
definitely
the
not.
Kid looked nothing like Rory. Nothing. Nothing.
I guess, yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand why we need a camera on the balcony. We see that at like. The old course, right? The old course hotel and some of those where there's balconies, but I don't know. It feels a little different, less intimate, less close. That's all I'd say. I don't know. It was odd yesterday. I thought it was odd today. They put him on the spot. He's like, no, definitely not my daughter. What do you make of his sandwich? I'm getting popped for this. Speaking of his hotel accommodations, it is. It does sound good.
Next time, when I'm in Torrey at the 2035 U.S. Open after... So, you know, this is the swing thing, right? If Henley or Mackenzie Hughes wins, maybe Louis even, Torrey's never getting another one. If Rory and Bryson have, like, an epic showdown tomorrow, Torrey's getting 2035 or whatever the next...
You really think so? You think that matters? You think that's how... You think they got a chance?
They'll say, we got Tiger... And we got Rory, like, winning for the first, like, if that happens, so when I'm there, I'm going to be getting that sandwich every day, too. It sounds delicious. What is it? It's chicken, avocado, a garlic aioli, a little lettuce. I think there's tomato on it. It sounds like a delicious bread.
He said holy bread. What is holy with holes in it? What is that? What does that connote to you? Maybe a sourdough of some
sourdough kind.
Sourdough.
Yeah, it does sound like sourdough. Yeah. It sounds delicious. It sounds great.
So I got people popping me for being anti-rotisserie chicken. That this is somehow, you know, puts my opinion to bed. That's being a further horrible opinion. First of all, you know, there's a lot of golf to be played here. He hasn't won anything on this little chicken train he's on all week. There's 18 holes to be played. Second of all, suggesting that my anti-rotisserie chicken, the whole like piece of junk in that plastic tin, can be equated to this delicious sounding sandwich with avocado and aioli and all this other stuff you're talking about. It's like saying Tom Fazio designed Augusta National. No, that's exactly what, like, Fazio might have an element of that, but, like, this is the exact same thing. Like, suggesting that Fazio is all Augusta is due to Fazio. That's the rotisserie chicken. Right? No, no. This sandwich is an amalgam of different ingredients. There's a there's that make it in total fine and great. So my anti-rotisserie chicken, there's some McKenzie in there. There's some probably Jones family mixed up in there. Maybe that's the aioli. I don't know. Whatever. But the rotisserie, the sandwich is just a totally different beast because of the other ingredients than suggesting you pick away at the scant few ounces you can get off this otherwise garbage bird in plastic. So it's just not a one-to-one comparison. That's all I have to say. My anti-rotisserie chicken is still take is still well, alive and well. All right.
I think that's just an absurd stance. The chicken is the star of the show. The rotisserie chicken, too. I don't think it would have the same kind of flavor and pop. I don't think Rory would be ordering it every night if it was a, you know, a shredded chicken or a grilled chicken breast. I think the rotisserie and that spice, that nice, like, coating that it has is what's making it that extra pizzazz.
That's fine. It's not a de facto. It's not bad. It's fine. I'm just suggesting it's a lazy person's way out of making dinner. You grab it on the end of the grocery store and you pick just little bits off of it. And it's always looks better than it actually is. All right, let's move on to Bryson.
Oh, you want to move on from rotisserie chicken? You've been back down by the world.
Not at all.
You want to move down.
Not at all. This is it's a sandwich. There's many ingredients to suggest that this is somehow the same as being anti. The whole chicken is ridiculous. Bryson?
Would you eat that sandwich?
Yes. In a second. In a heartbeat.
Even though it was rotisserie chicken?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
The chicken itself is not horrible.
Sounds like your entire hatred of rotisserie chicken has been just nullified.
No.
Brendan loves
not
rotisserie
at all.
Chicken.
It's not horrible. It's like the fifth best way to eat chicken, but it's not it's not inedible.
Oh,
I would eat it.
Wow, the tables have really turned here.
This is not true at all. It's not it's ridiculous.
This is what I'll remember the 2021 US Open forever on.
Do you think Bryson should get
to admit that it's ridiculous. Rotisserie chicken was good.
Do you think Bryson should get penalty strokes for not yelling four at some point? Where are we with this?
It's not good.
I mean, you got to be warned. I know that's not in the official rule book, maybe.
Having been somebody that's been hit by a golf ball in my life, it hurts. It's like it's kind of like punching somebody really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like you have experience with both.
Purposely launching balls into the crowd, you have to yell as soon as you hit it.
Yeah. At what's his ball speed? 208, 210, 212, whatever he gets it up to? It seems like, what was the one hole where he went purposely down the right side? Four, right? Yeah. And he picked his tee up knowing it was going there and never yelled anything, just kind of quietly went to his bag. This is now a continued sort of pattern of behavior. And I think we got to start. Someone's got to say something to him. He has no care for public safety, apparently. What's his chances tomorrow? Again, we don't need to say if he'll win, he'll lose. I personally think he is the most likely to win on the leaderboard. I thought this is cliche. I thought he left a lot out there today. It just seems like he has it figured out. Has a lot of wedges, as we've seen, hits it to pin high, and has like a 7 to like 12 footer on a bunch of holes where a lot of guys don't, or a lot of guys are scrambling, or a lot of guys are trying to 2-putt in from some other part of the green. I would suggest he is the favorite, or not the favorite, but if you ask me who's most likely to win based on what I saw today, what I saw yesterday, it would be Bryson. Slow climb back to first place.
The oily boy.
A little less oily, but oily boy nonetheless. Yes.
Something that I really have noticed with Bryson over the last kind of year or so is he's got this like unbelievable knack for making really important putts. Like where the momentum could really shift, and we've seen this with the course, like what happens with people, they make a couple birdies and then they make bogey or two or three, right? It just keeps pulling you back down. And today, Bryson, you know, he hits that shitty wedge on 14, the shitty chip, and then he cans like that 20-foot putt for par. And it reminded me a lot of what happened at Bay Hill when he was in the duel with Westy. You know, he made a couple absurd putts that were like across the green early in the round, places that you wouldn't remember. But like that putt really stood out to me as like, God, you know, he just like a lot of guys don't make that. And those are the putts you make when you win tournaments. So I share your sentiments about if I was going to say a favorite, I'd say him. Although I really like Louis if he can shoot one under. That's the thing. I love any of the leaders if they can shoot one under.
Like at any point on Sunday at Kiowa, did you think Louis was going to win?
No. Never.
Not he was. I don't think he was.
Same
one
for
or two
Wingfoot.
Back.
Same with Wingfoot last year. Like he was right in the mix last year at Wingfoot, and they fell apart on the back nine. But like same thing.
But it's a little
like,
different, maybe. I don't know. A little different for him. Plays into his hands a little more. I don't know.
Well, it's more of a PGA Tour setup, according to Mackenzie Houston.
Right. Yeah, I think the thick boy is the pick.
How about John Rahm? Is he, I thought we were going to just really see a nuclear explosion on 14 or 15, wherever he hit the flag.
Another one that just feels like he's not getting much out of it. And still
nothing.
Somehow T6, you know, kicking away some par five opportunities. He got one at the end. I think he birdied on 18. But yeah, kicking away par five opportunities. So, yes, would I be shocked if I would not be shocked if he shot 66, maybe even low round of the week to win. Should we just do contender or pretender? You want to go through them?
Yeah.
All right. Mackenzie Hughes and Russell Henley, the last two. They are tied for the lead.
I think Russell Henley is a contender.
I'm with you on that.
Hughes is a pretender.
I think if Russell Henley was a pretender, we would have seen him recede a little bit more. He would have pulled the Dick Bland, you know?
Hughes hasn't been FedEx Cup number one like Russell Henley has.
I saw you reeling folks in on that on Twitter. People taking the bait. Insulted that you would suggest that Henley, because he's been number one, has climbed the mountaintop. That was fabulous. Twitter, just a terrible place, but... Sometimes
this
you can
is a
get
horrible place these days.
I agree with that. I'd say Hughes, I would put pretender. We're going to get a lot of angry folks up north, a lot of angry Canucks, and I would put Henley as a Hughes pretender, Henley a contender. How about Louis, Rory?
Louis a contender. Rory's a contender.
No thought. Quick.
Well, I mean,
quick
I just
don't.
Draw. Okay. Here's the thing. Like, what's a bad round? 73?
Yeah.
So you're still contending. What's a good round? 67. So
impossible.
Like,
to, yeah.
Yeah, like you're never not in contention. It's like the thing. Literally. So if Russell Henley, all right, we tweeted this from the Fried Egg. I was pissed off when Russell Henley made his last putt because it really screwed up the whole thing. But, you know, if at the start of today, so if Russell Henley misses his putt, at the start of the day, it was two players at 5 under. So if Russell Henley misses, there's two players at 5 under. Two players at 4 under. There would have been one player at 4 under. Two players at 3 under. There would have been two players at 3 under. Three players at 2 under. Three players at 2 under. And then three players at 1 under, and now they're 5 players at 1 under. So it just would have been the same exact thing. Like it got screwed up because of the one. But it's just, you know, that's the thing. You're never out of it, really.
Okay.
If you're at five, I can't see a world where you're out of it. Like, what are you gonna shoot 42? Like, you have to play so bad, and you've been playing golf at such a high level to shoot 42.
What did Dick Bland shoot coming in?
He shot, He shot like one of the highest. I mean,
he shot 41 coming in. Dick Bland. Like, but it's also Dick Bland.
The outliers were 82. That like never happened. I mean, Wilco shot 80 today. The next highest, like, you can't shoot bad score. Like, there's no 85s out here.
Bryson, we've established as a contender. Maybe our pick. Scotty Scheffler. Again, contender, pretender. He's two under, three shot back. Are we just going to say everybody's a contender?
I think, honestly, everybody's a contender.
Who's the pretenders?
Bezaden, Hout, and Streelman aren't winning.
I would agree with that.
Like everybody else is a contender because you can't go anywhere. There's no carnage. There's no ejectability.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you go? Are you going any below one under, even par? Paul Casey,
no.
Poulter.
No, because you can't Brooksy, shoot below 67 apparently.
That would be Brooksy. That would bring Brooksy and JT into it. JT could shoot a go nuts. No. Maybe. Maybe not. 65 at best. Puts you at six under, maybe to a playoff at best. That's a lot. It seems like a reach.
Well, that's the thing. So I will say this. Say somebody goes out and shoots 64. It'll be utterly unbelievable because nobody's shooting low scores, right?
Right.
So there is the ability if somebody just gets unbelievably hot that we could have like one of the most memorable final rounds of all time when somebody shoots like a 65 because nobody's done it. So I would urge the USGA to maybe cut some rough. Like, do something to spice this shit up.
You think that's going to happen?
No.
We should maybe save this for our recap show. But, like, the whole week, the holistic show. Where are you with Brooksy right now?
Winning majors is hard. Like, he's in the mix. That's all you can do.
Since he started talking a bunch of shit about DJ at Harding Park, though, I don't know. I mean, I guess he was in the final group at the PGA. It's hard to put him down for that. What'd you make of Mike Davis caddying? A little thirsty? You think he's going to be out there with Wilco Nienaber hitting the ball 390 yards, watching just equipment overwhelm the look what this hath wrought? Nienaber's out alone first. I don't know if Gore will be the marker again. I would think he would be, but maybe. I doubt Mike Davis throws a caddy bib on the day he's got to be in his suit and tie and do the trophy presentation and all that. So it was interesting, charming, whatever, bunch of different things. Any other reactions from Saturday? You want to get off your chest, empty the notebook?
Let's see. You know, one thing with Henley I noticed today, he was in all those bunkers. It's so much better to be in the bunker, assuming you aren't up on the lip, than it is to be in the rough.
You're talking about fairway and greenside?
Fairway bunkers.
Okay. I think the players said that as much. A lot of them, too. It's the start of the week. Especially greenside, though, right? I mean, I guess depending on if you're real short side or not, too. But
do you have anything else? I mean, no. We're 50 minutes. This is 30 minutes too long.
Yeah. Everyone enjoy
I'm glad you're back on Team Rotisserie Chicken.
That's bullshit.
That's been the win of the
no,
day.
No, I'll have it in a sandwich with a bunch of other ingredients.
I'll have it in a sandwich. Oh,
this
my.
This is not. How
oh
can
my.
You not distinguish?
You can't
understand
just
this
go
distinction.
Run around, run in your mouth on Rotisserie Chicken, and then say,
I don't
well,
do
I'll
that,
have,
first
I'll
of all.
I'll have it in a sandwich.
I've run around, running my mouth on chicken. It came up in a podcast, and now it's taken on a life of its own. That it's just not analogous at all. Sandwich with a bunch of ingredients. So, all right. Everyone, enjoy your Saturdays. Enjoy your Sunday mornings. Happy Father's Day, Andy. Your first Father's Day, is it not?
Hey, thank you. I get to watch Torrey Pines. I got to play Torrey Pines on my birthday, and I get to watch golf at Torrey Pines on my first Father's Day. Oh, what a treat.
Oh, everybody, if you're a father, if you have a dad, I mean, you know, if you don't, enjoy your Father's Day, enjoy your Sundays, enjoy your weekends, enjoy your US Open. We'll be back with a full week wrap show, usual Monday morning episode. Thanks again for your support. Listen it.